Welcome to another Gamisode. I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jonna.
And what you just listened to was
Team Rocket, spelled all funny. That's the Team Rocket Hideout theme remixed by Tweak from the recent OCR compilation, The Missing No Tracks.
What do you got in store for us, guys?
Okay, so we're reviewing a few things, a few quick reviews, a few long reviews, possibly. There's a lot of games that just came out. Cap's eating a piece of pizza, just so you know.
There's an awful lot of pizza in this recording studio right now.
There's too many. There's two giant pizzas for three people. I want you to know that.
We will be eating these. That is going to happen. So, you know. Brandon's faking it. It's the real deal.
That's
for me,
I sound when I eat pizza. I'm not faking it. Also, we're filming this in Paris right now, in a small building.
Are you a bitch?
Sometimes.
Don't be a bitch right now. And don't fake eat pizza. Eat a real goddamn pizza right now.
Alright, hold on. Let me get this pizza.
Yeah, pizza break. Okay. I know it's a little early but
this is what I sound like. Oh, I'm dropping pizza stuff. This is what I sound like when I'm eating pizza. You'll notice you can't hear it, which makes for bad radio.
Well, you're not trying to talk at the same time. You're not doing it right.
Here we go. Okay, so there's a lot of video games that came out recently.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Too many video games. I don't have enough money for all these video games. I'm playing demos of video games. Hold on. Okay, that's another slice.
John's getting another slice.
You gotta join in.
By the way, Giovanni's in Winter Park makes the best pizza. This is not really me promoting them or sales pitch.
That's just a personal endorsement.
Yeah.
It's the best. We're trying to get Brandon's face on all their promotional material.
Mm-hmm. And all in their pizza boxes. Which actually might deter business, but whatever. Alright, let me put this pizza down.
We'll just have to give it a kosher approval rating.
See, now I don't have any napkins, and I'm just covered in pizza. Give me your napkin, Cap.
Alright.
Give me your napkin. Okay, I want to get this on my shirt.
I forgot to grab one.
You're not prepared. Yep.
Okay, here's your napkin back, slightly used. There's some snot on there. So welcome to another Nerdy Show pizza party.
Yeah, pizza party.
Mm.
So, basically, there's so many video games that came out, I can't possibly review them all.
And it's only getting worse.
Which is why John is here. Mm-hmm. She catches all the stuff I've never heard of and don't hear about till years later for some reason.
I'm good at that.
Yeah. Played the demo for Bulletstorm. Now, right off the bat, Steve Bloom does the voice of the main character. And for those of you who don't know Steve Bloom, he's like the best voice actor.
Spike Spiegel.
Exactly, from Cowboy Bebop.
Hey, you were having a boner over from the last Nerdy Show episode.
Oh my god, he's my favorite. He did Roger Smith, and he's the mouth on the Dairy Queen commercials, and what a sexy mouth that is. So if you've seen the Dairy Queen commercials, you know Steve Bloom.
I don't know what you're talking about, but carry on. But tell me, what is Bulletstorm? I don't know, it reminds me of the titles of games that I don't like the John Woo game.
Well, you're half right, because I don't really care much for the story or the main character. He uses the word dick tits a lot, I just want to add.
Seriously?
And butthole and asshole. He swears a lot,
hold on. He said dick tits?
Yes. He's like, you're playing the demo now, buy the real game, dick tits. And he just shouts at you to the point where you're like, this is kind of over the top. They don't really need to make him like this. But it's just the demo. I don't know how he is in the real game. Played the demo. It was one of the most fun FPS games I've ever played. It's like the Tony Hawk of first-person shooters,
that's a ridiculous comparison.
Yes, but it's an accurate comparison, because the main point is to kill enemies in the most skillful and creative way possible, thus getting you the most points. And there's a whole ladder system and ranking system worldwide, so that is the goal. It's like Tony Hawk. Get as much points on that level as possible by being creative.
Huh.
That is the whole premise. Simple first-person controls. You've got this like laser whip that brings enemies towards you, and you can kick things, and you can shoot things. Essentially it. But the thing that makes this game so fun is, besides, you know, the creative thing, it has the most interactive environments I've ever seen of a first-person shooter. Anything that looks abnormal or out of, like, the element, like, anything that doesn't look like just a rock sitting there can be interacted. So, you know, if there's spikes coming out of a wall or a floor, you can throw enemies onto it, you can throw enemies into pits, you can pull things off the ceiling, you can electrocute things into wires that are just sitting there. Like, anything that looks abnormal, you can use. Man-eating plants, so it's really fun to try to get the most creative kills possible. Story, I don't know, I don't care. It's just fun to kill things in that game. that's pretty much my review for Bulletstorm. If you like Tony Hawk, but with killing,
Bulletstorm. Now, you said you played the demo for it. Is that came out already?
Oh yeah, it's out.
And for PS3, I assume, but also
it's
Xbox?
It's for both. Another game I wanted to review, Dragon Age 2. Now let me tell you real quick about Dragon Age 2. I played the demo, and then I had to stop halfway into the demo.
Well, actually, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about Dragon Age 1 real quick. I mentioned Dragon Age 1 back when it came out. There's a Nerdy Show episode. I don't know. Search on the website if you want to hear me talk about it. I don't remember which episode that was. And I hated it. I thought...
Now, you didn't hate it because of the story writing.
No, the story was great. The story was, like, really, really, really immersive. I was very excited by that. But it had these awkwardly bad graphics, which I could look around, except that that was complemented by a extremely boring, strenuous, not fun fighting system akin to, like, World of Warcraft, even though it felt like the game could have easily been set up for, like, an action battle system like Fable.
Now, I need to point out that Cap has not played the Baldur's Gate games, which is the play style it takes after, so he's not used to it, and I even agree with him to the point that it was... Even though the story was good, the action was not as fast-paced as it should be. Pizza break?
Oh, pizza break? Okay, pizza yeah, break. Sure.
Pizza!
Okay, hold on. So, Dragon Age 1, Cap didn't like the battle system. It turned him off to the game completely, yeah. As well as a lot of more modern gamers.
Yeah, like, you know, Baldur's Gate, sure, whatever. Mm. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. So...
And the graphics sucked.
Dragon Age 2 came out.
Oh, yeah, and the sex scenes were stupid.
Yeah. So, Dragon Age 2 came out. I played the demo first, and... I had to stop halfway into it because it was so ridiculously good that I immediately went out and bought the game. And I didn't want to play more in the demo because I didn't want to spoil shit. The battle system is like a hack and slash. I don't want to say God of War because it's not.
I watched you play it. It's like a God of War Fable hybrid.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's really good. It's really fun. It still has great story writing that you'll expect from BioWare. Customizable everything, creation systems, stats, all of that. It's got everything, basically, the first game had, except better graphics and a much-needed improved combat system, which is completely awesome.
I was watching you play it, and I thought, God damn it, I wish they could just hate it, because now I'm really, really interested in playing it, and I just don't have the goddamn time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like Mass Effect, save data from the first game does transfer to the second, which is a bitch, because I didn't play the first, because I'm a loser, and there were too many games out. So it is basically a Mass Effect game, except with swords and magic.
Which is what I wanted the first time around.
It's, it's not the same combat system as Mass Effect, because there's way more skills in this game than Mass Effect.
So. Yeah. I guess in a way I kind of did get the Mass Effect 1 experience with the first Dragon Age, except that, well, because it had a flawed battle system, and then they improved it the second time.
Yeah. Also, Catherine Janeway's in this. I don't know if she was in the first one, because I didn't play it.
Kate Mulgrew. Mm. I heard her voice in the other room, and I came out swinging.
I know what you're saying. Oh, Catherine Janeway, she's the worst captain of any ship in the fleet. But she's got a great voice for voice acting, especially when you don't see her body. So yeah, it works.
And like many of the greatest Star Trek actors, she too was in Gargoyles. Just saying.
Was she?
She was.
Is she a sexy woman?
She was a sexy woman. I feel like she was Morgan Le Fay.
I'm sure she's not Brooklyn.
You know, she may have been Brooklyn. No. Brooklyn was Neelix.
Was he?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It's got options like Mass Effect that'll lead towards different parts of the story later, like, you know, good, evil. But it's got options that Mass Effect 2 doesn't have. Like, it has a whole section of things that are neither good or evil, but not neutral. They're charming, clever, funny, and sexy. that is the category it is. So you've got good, bad, and, like, charming. So I don't know how that plays in, but you can charm your way into the pants of a few people. I don't know if there's man on man or man on female in this game or female on female or what it is. You can get your own characters to hate you or love you, and they unlock different abilities based on that and quests. So the entire game is one big variable.
That's how I like them from BioWare.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, that's my mini review, Dragon Age 2. I bought the game and I just need to play it.
How much have you actually played?
The demo.
Oh, so that's about how far you go.
I literally went out today.
Oh, okay.
Like, right before I came here, I was like, oh, God, so all the video game stores are going to close, so I need to drop everything. I was like, okay, I got to order the pizza for this thing. I'm going to go get Dragon Age 2. I'm going to come back, and then I remembered, oh, now I need to actually get the pizzas and come here.
And now you're fired.
Yes.
Because you were late.
Because I was late. But I'm taking half the pizza with me when I leave as a fuck you.
No severance.
That is your severance pay.
Let's cut into the big stories right now. Let's
the Windows Phone.
Really? The Windows Phone?
Well, real quick, okay. I want to say the Windows Phone I don't give a shit about. Except, and here's the thing, whoever else might like. Okay, so you've got your 360, you got your Xbox Live Arcade games, and you're like, oh crap, I'm on a plane. which I guess you're probably not supposed to have your cell phone on, but you're going to do it anyway. Or is that just not what it's taking
off? There's plane mode.
Okay, this is plane mode. Or you're sitting somewhere for many hours and you can't play your Xbox Live Arcade games. Well, the Windows phone allows you to instantly connect to your profile on your 360 and play any of your Xbox Live Arcade games. Feel like playing Castle Crashers, Shadow Complex, whatever, it's there on the Windows phone.
Well, pointing that out. I was actually at a cell phone store today and asked him about that very thing because you told me about it.
Yes. And please don't tell me that that's wrong because I saw an entire article about it.
It is not every game. It is some games, and I don't know what the distinction is.
Just the ones that have ports, I guess. Because I can't imagine that the platform's exactly the same where they all just transfer cleanly over. It must just be ones that they specifically make ports for.
Oh, for like touch screens, I guess.
Yeah.
Can you just plug in a gamepad to phones nowadays?
Some of them have attachments like that, and they're expensive.
PlayStation phone's got a built-in controller, son.
I mean, essentially, what this dude at the cell phone store said was, "Well, look, if you want to play games on your phone, just get an Android." And he was like, "I got the catalog of every Sega Genesis and every Super Nintendo game on my phone."
Are you shitting me?
That's what he basically said. Buy an Android, get an emulator.
Can we get Terranigma on our phones?
Yes, we can get Terranigma.
You can get any ROM on your phone.
Yeah.
I'm still not buying a phone.
Terranigma endorsement real quick. Terranigma is an amazing game, and if you've never heard of it, look it up.
It's one of the best fully translated games that was never released in America. It was released in Europe. It's fully translated. They still will not release it on any virtual console thing or anything.
But just because they're lazy.
Yeah.
They could.
Yeah, they could. It's already done. It is already done, and it's one of my favorite games.
It's by Enix.
Yes.
It's the sequel to Illusions of Gaia.
Yes.
May we say more.
Which is the sequel to...
Soul Blazer.
Soul Blazer, which if you've ever played that game, you may like it or hate it.
They ascend in quality each game.
Moving right along.
Yes.
Another game that I didn't know about till yesterday is...
Ghost Trick.
Now tell me, what is this game? Because the trailer looked weird and confusing and there were bikes moving.
Oh my god, that was weird.
Well, I haven't watched the trailer in a while, so I can't remember what was in it exactly.
People and bikes moving.
And a bunch of text at different angles and...
And cats jumping on things and then pausing in midair.
Well, this game was made by the team that made the Phoenix Wright series, so...
Which is why it should be awesome.
Yes, it is very awesome. Now, myself, I love the Phoenix Wright series, but I was actually getting a little tired of it. I played the Edgeworth game recently, and I enjoyed it.
I love Miles Edgeworth.
I love him, too! That's why I was all excited about the game, and I enjoyed it, but towards the end, it was just kind of dragging, and I was... kind of getting tired of it, and I was like, man, I really like these games, but I think I need a change, and I got my change with Ghost Trick.
So is this the same exact team that made Ghost Trick?
Shu Takumi, I think is his name. He's the lead designer and all that. He created the series, basically. Phoenix Wright.
Shiitake Mushroom.
Yep, that's him. Mm-hmm. It's his game.
I don't know, whatever.
I mean, you can tell all throughout the game that it's made by the same person. It just has the feeling of it, like the music. So, I mean, it's not quite the same, but it has a similar style, I guess. And the thing is, the graphics are nothing like Phoenix Wright.
I saw a bit of it.
You saw that?
It's weird.
They look love gorgeous.
It. Oh my gosh, it's like some of the best animation I've ever seen in a 2D game. That's actually the reason why I bought the game.
I couldn't decide. Are they sprites?
They were made from 3D models, but they were converted into 2D sprites.
Oh, shit. That explains why I couldn't figure out what the hell they were.
That's weird.
Yeah. Awesome. It works so well. It's so impressive. I just, all throughout the game, I was so wowed by how it looked. Like, I wanted to run out and buy a DSi XL just so I could see it all bigger, because it was amazing.
So, is the music good as well?
Oh, yeah. It's really good. It might not be quite as good as the Phoenix Wright music, but it all fits really well with the game, so I enjoy it quite a bit.
So what is this game about? Because I still have no idea.
The full name is Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. You are, at the very beginning of the game, it shows that you die.
There's a dead hooker.
Yep.
She's been turning ghost tricks.
Well,
right?
We're done. You basically got it, so okay. Nothing else to say. Basically, the core gameplay involves you manipulating objects in order to prevent people from dying. That's how most of the game goes.
So do you play as a ghost?
Yeah, you're a ghost, and you have powers. You have ghost powers. The main thing that you can do is manipulate objects, pretty much. Like, that's the extent of your powers. You can get in objects, you can make them do things.
So you're like Patrick Swayze, what he learned from that homeless guy on the train. How to manipulate objects while being a ghost.
Or like Bill Cosby.
In Ghost Dad, the best movie ever made. Besides Leonard Part 6. The best. That is the best movie ever made. Anyway...
that's basically how it is throughout the game. Now, depending on what's going on, it kind of changes. You're not just saving people's lives, but that's what you do through most of it.
Is it time? Because I saw a weird thing, like you have 4 minutes to before you die or something.
What it does, you have unlimited chances to save the person. Like you, it's basically trial and error. You just have to kind of mess with everything and see what it does and figure out what you have to do exactly to turn things around and prevent them from dying. So if you don't get it right, you can keep rewinding time over and over until you get it. So that's what it does. For some reason, you have the ability to rewind 4 minutes before they die.
You're a ghost. Why not?
Yeah. Well, it's all explained, actually. I just don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, okay. I see. Now, when the people die, if you fail, does it show them dying mm-hmm. in horrible ways?
Well, I mean, it's not a very graphic game, but you see him die, though.
Like, no one gets raped while they have a knife attached to
their
wing?
No, nothing like that. Though, a giant chicken does fall on someone at one point. That's kind of cool. I like that.
I'm sold right there.
Yeah.
That makes me want to buy it. Giant chickens.
It should, because it's worth it.
So, yeah, no, I've been eyeing this game since I learned about it a whole day ago.
Yeah.
And I'm actually considering getting it.
There is a demo for it. You can, if you have a Wii, you can download it.
We have a Wii.
We do have a
Wii. We have a Wii.
Ooh.
Wii.
Then you can download the demo.
Wii, double Wii.
Have you ever done that? Do you know how to do that?
How you use the Wii. Sometimes I have a remote and it makes a cursor move and then I don't, there's boxes.
Have you ever downloaded the Eskimos from the Nintendo channel?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Eskimos?
Yeah, Eskimos. No, one time I downloaded like a Ninja Gaiden thing. Remember that?
Yeah, but then you had to transfer to your DS. Oh, that's what you do. Oh,
snap. Your Wii turns into a Wi-Fi hotspot, like the GameStop or the Target.
I am such a Wii just tard. Like
that. I mean, a lot of people don't know about that feature, so I was just making sure. But if you want to check it out, there is a demo on there.
Without spoiling the game, are there any cameos from people in Ace Attorney?
No, there aren't, but there's this one character that actually looks a lot like Phoenix, which I thought was interesting. Well, actually, he only looks like him from far away, because they have, like, their close-up portrait shots. And when I saw his little far away sprite, I was like, what? Is that Phoenix? Cool, what's he doing here? And then it zoomed in, I was like, oh, man.
So have you beaten the game then?
Yeah, yeah. I was enjoying it so much that I couldn't put it down. So I never beat games anymore, so that says something about this one, because I loved it. Every minute of it, I loved it. I couldn't put it down.
What's the replay value on this? Like,
bad. Really bad. Because
I was thinking that it might be.
It would be really cool if they had made it so you could figure out different ways to save everybody, but no, it's just one. You have to figure out the one path each time. So so there's no replay value, really.
So basically we should check out the demo, and if it's your kind of bag, get the game. And if not, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, I loved it so much, and I have such a bad memory that probably in a couple of years I'll forget everything and I'll play it again. If I ever come across a DSi XL really cheap, I'll probably buy it and then just play the game through so I can see all those lovely animations again. They're so beautiful.
I'm sure they will be cheap when the 3DS comes out.
Yeah.
I hope Nintendo survives this year. So.
Of course they
will. If you're following current news...
Well,
the news is Reggie, as well as the head of Nintendo,
what are you saying to me?
Well, basically, they said they're...
What's happening to my sweet, sweet Reggie Fleels of me?
Essentially, without saying it, they are scared shitless of games on Facebook and iTunes destroying the market with their free plus 99-cent games, especially for phones. And they think that it's going to destroy both the quality and integrity of games that cost, like, $50, and people will stop paying money for games.
They said this out loud?
They said it recently at a convention.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second.
Kotaku had an interview with head guy from Nintendo of America, Douchey McDouche.
Reggie?
Yeah.
Please, I mean,
he said this.
I believe that he said it, but I think it's full of crap.
Yeah, that's really... God, it's so
weird. It's a different market.
It's weird what he
There's
will
a
say
video
and
of...
what he won't say.
There's a video of the head guy at Nintendo. Why can't I never remember his
Iwata?
Name? One Kind of Mushroom. Yes. yes, that kind of mushroom. He said the same thing. You can watch a video of it. I'm not lying. Yeah, it's not... They didn't say they're going under. They just think that... They didn't, you know, try to mention Facebook or iTunes, but you can... clearly tell from their conversations they were hinting at things like Farmville and stuff destroying like actual good games, which is funny.
Well, I mean, I've seen a bunch of articles about the degenerative quality of like simple touch-based games and fucking Farmville and...
But it's kind of the Wii's fault because as much as there are good games for the Wii, there's a lot of games that are very low-budget, low-quality games as well that still cost $50.
Which kind of makes me wonder what they're worried about.
Yeah, I mean,
the thing is because they cost $50 for these low-quality games. You can get games that are more fun, like Angry Birds, for 99 cents.
And they need to stop with the cheap cash-ins and actually focus on more quality games.
Exactly, which, you know, might hurt their sales at the beginning, but it'll pay off at the end.
I don't know, like, Grandma and, like, little Susie, who is going to grow up to be a prom queen and never played a video game in her life anyway,
she's not gonna grow up.
Get hooked
she's gonna be
on
murdered.
you know, these simple games, and I think that everyone else, even like the Warcraft market or whatever, are, I don't know, it's just, they're distractions. They're simple distractions. I don't think they're gonna...
Don't get me started on how I think Warcraft is destroying online gaming, but...
And the thing about the Wii, I mean, a lot of the people at my store, they buy like stuff like Just Dance. Like the whole point of that is moving around. You can't do that with a Android phone game.
Like people don't buy hardcore games for the Wii anymore, do they? It's not like
mostly no.
Yeah.
Only the Nintendo made ones, not all the third party ones.
Well, I blame Nintendo for all of their own shortcomings, which they seem to be doing well in the handheld department, but they've got some really steep competition with the Windows Phone and the new PSP that looks. I'm biased.
If they keep doing what they're doing, they'll always delight me with their first-party games, and I'll always be surprised by the occasional third-party game, and ultimately, my purchase of the system will not be a regrettable decision.
This year, depending on the sales of the 3DS, it may change the entire format of their company, because if it's not successful, they have to rethink everything they're doing. If it is successful, then they're going to ride the 3DS's coattails for a very long time.
I don't see any way that that's going to fail. I know so many people are so excited.
Why don't either, except that... It's, I think, like $250.
That's true. It is expensive, but I know a lot of people who are like, I'm saving up for that 3DS, and these are people that normally don't spend a lot on
them. As long as they've got good games on board, which looks like Metal Gear, so...
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that they delayed the system for a stronger third-party launch, and the first day's worth of games, I'm not impressed with. The only thing I'm interested in is Pilot Wings.
Yeah, and they need to get over their stupid internet fear of child molesters and just let people play whoever they want on a DS.
At least this time around it's just one code. You don't have a different code
for
every
game. Oh my god.
Ugh.
Okay, go to the forum and find my code so we can play this one game together.
That's even creepier than if you just let me play with random people.
Yeah, exactly. Now you have to actually learn these people. So
I think it's going to be a success. I definitely do.
Once that stuff shows up in kiosks and like the department stores, it's going to break everyone's brain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The few people I know who've actually been able to play with one hands-on, they've been very, very impressed by it. So.
Yeah, you were impressed with it.
I was impressed as hell.
Yeah.
That was so good.
And I want to be impressed so
It
bad.
Is pre-ordered.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. That is in the bag.
Oh.
Deposit.
Okay. And on that note, another pizza break.
And a music break.
Maybe not for you guys, but we...
Oh, yeah. You better give me a slice of pizza.
All right.
Or I'm going to break your face.
Cool.
Coming up right now, we have Jode, A Captive Fate. That's a track from the Ghost Trick original soundtrack. It's by Masakazu Sugimori. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're I Fight Dragons, and you're listening to Nerdy Show.
The.
Not the.
The now free of the for free years the. To ago.
20% less the.
And that beautiful, beautiful tune was another song from the Missing No tracks. That was Jiggly Choir, a rendition of Jigglypuff's song, as I'm sure you're well aware, by Dragon Avenger.
Mm. Ate too much pizza.
Yeah, well, we're done. We finished this first box. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how gross that sounds to you guys, but I don't care.
Sounds delicious.
Okay. Now, Brandon.
What?
When I was at the Sony conference at E3, well, there's a lot of bullshit that was shoved down my throat for a very, very long time.
I thought you liked that.
That's not my thing, man.
Oh, okay.
You know, they showed Killzone 3, and I was pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah.
And they showed them playing Killzone 3 with a move.
Uh-huh.
It looked cool that it was being played with a move. Ultimately, the move was, I mean, I think that it speaks for itself to this day. It's just a simple, extremely overpriced Wii knockoff and has, you know, there's nothing to it.
Well, you know, there's not actually too much difference in the price. If you look at the controller prices, not too much difference. Wiimote with the Z-axis is, like, almost $50 too now.
But, I mean, the thing is, you need the wand, you need the little nunchuck thing, and the camera.
Which
for the full experience.
Figured out when I went to buy it.
Yeah.
So.
And the nunchuck thing isn't just, I mean, it's another piece of expensive hardware. It's not like the Wii nunchuck.
Mm-mm.
No, yeah, it's like, what, $40, I think, at least. And it doesn't even do anything but, like, mimic a regular control with a bit of a gyroscope in it. So
wireless was so important to them that they made an stupid expensive piece of hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, point being, you bought Killzone 3, and when you did, you bought a move.
I was told.
You brought a move into our house.
I was told by the powers that be that I should get a move only when Killzone 3 comes out and not before.
And I sold it to you.
Mm-hmm. She sold it to me because someone bought one and returned it to her store. Mm-hmm. I bought it.
Shows how popular it is.
Exactly. So at first I was like, okay, I've got the move. Hey, this sharpshooter just came out. I'll buy the sharpshooter gun. For those of you who don't know, the sharpshooter is basically the Wii Zapper, except it has integrated little USB ports on it that actually reprogram the controls onto the map. They map the controls onto the buttons on the gun. So it's a digital gun. It's not just a plastic thing. It's got like a pump action front and like a adjustable stock. It's got a button underneath the clip for like accurate reloading or whatever the hell they use. And it's got actual buttons and like adjustments for like how many like rate of fire for bullets and things like that. So it's actually a nice.
It looked really, really impressive.
Digital controller for $40. I returned it the next day. Let me explain to you why. Never buy an accessory that doesn't seem to be tested well on the first go. Wait for a review. Because I bought it with the move, and my first experience with the move is terrible, because I'm playing Killzone 3 and I'm trying to aim. It's slow as fuck with the sharpshooter, and I don't know if it's because it's at the end of the barrel or what, but it sucked. As soon as I put the move in my hand, I could aim 10 times better. So I got rid of it, because it was not helping my stats online. Now, I got Killzone 3, which is your basic Space Marines kind of taking everything down against insurmountable odds kind of game. The multiplayer is really why I bought it. It has incredible multiplayer, and I could not get out of last place with the move controller for several hours. Using the move was like when the mouse first came out for the computer. Nobody knew quite how to use it, and it sucked, but everyone got used to it now, and it's great. So it took me like an entire day of adjusting settings and using it, but now I can get like in the top three. And it's great, and it's actually way faster to aim with the cursor on the screen and the move
used to
it. But I won't lie, it sucks when you first start using it. Like, there's so many settings you can adjust. You can adjust the speed of the cursor, the speed that the screen turns, the horizontal and vertical axis of when the screen starts turning, depending on how much you move the control. So it took me at least an hour to figure out which settings I liked.
That's because he's tilting the point of this like the center focus point of the move wand to the left and the right for auto turning.
Yes, and it is as complicated as it just made it sound to be. So once I got that down, then I tried to actually get good at aiming and turning in the game. Took me a very long time, probably more than a day, but I actually got pretty good with it. Now it's actually way more fun to use the move than it is a regular controller, and I can get just as good a score as I did with the regular controller. So it's really awesome online. I would recommend getting it just for Killzone 3. And they use it.
I'd like to see how it compares to mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anything's going to beat the mouse and keyboard. I've never gotten more accurate from, like, playing Quake 3 Arena with the mouse than, you know, using anything else. Like, that's basically the pinnacle of aiming right there, and until they had strapped something to my eyes. Digital, like, attachment where you just look and things die. But it's not going to happen for a while.
That doesn't sound fun.
Not a while. Maybe.
Like, augmented reality goggles with games, you know? Oh, great.
And it measures the squint of your eye, and then people explode.
Okay, like you squint, and then it zooms in or some shit. You know, the Kinect could possibly do that, maybe.
In a very well-lit room, with enough space.
And some good programming, yes.
Firestarter the game.
Yeah, so... yeah, awesome.
All your pyrokinetic ability is controlled by eye squint.
That would be great. You squint the right eye, and it does something different. You squint the left eye, it does something different. Raise your eyebrows while squinting. People will be going to doctors for having, like, syndromes where they can't stop squinting and shit. And they're just twitching. But anyway, so aside from the move, Killzone 3 is pretty good. It's your standard first-person shooter with some really cool stuff that happens. But the multiplayer is really the way to go. And they changed the entire feel of the game because they gave you way less health. But they added the Z-targeting system. That Metroid Prime has. Basically, you can lock onto enemies and, like, strafe around them and stuff and shoot. And it makes the game way more fun than the original, in my opinion. But you also die twice as fast. Mm-hmm. So you get killed in, like, two shots. So you've got to be really good.
How's the jetpack? That was a huge selling point for all the Sony frat boys down in the pit.
Really? Was it?
They were like, woo, jetpack!
Well, it's not actually
a
jetpack.
We got a Halo!
You can't actually fly with it. It's more of a jump booster. Basically, you can jump really high with it and then kind of float down or just drop and hover.
So it gives you a space jump.
Yeah. You don't...
Oh, like the Mario boots.
Yeah, it's got a space jump with like a chain gun on it. You can't actually just fly and keep flying. That would be like you fly over the whole stage. And in multiplayer, it's readily available with, you know, robots and mechs and giant movable vehicles and stuff, so... It's pretty fun online. I don't give a shit about the single-player game. I'm gonna be honest. Like, it's fun, but multiplayer is the only thing I play now. So... If you're getting Killzone 3 because it's a Sony like exclusive game that is amazing because it's not a port and you want good multiplayer that's not Call of Duty, as I call it, Call of Booty, get it.
Modern Warfare.
Call of Booty, Modern Warfare. By the way, if you don't think that's a real porno, Google Call of Booty, Modern Warfare. It's already been made. It's a real porn.
Brandon thought he was making a clever joke.
Yeah.
Then we looked it up.
Yeah.
Boom.
There's Call of Booty, Modern Warfare, probably 1-4 at this point. So, yeah. Check out that porn. It's great.
He doesn't know that. He hasn't seen it.
Yeah, don't get the sharpshooter, by the way. Make sure nobody gets it. If you see someone have it, hit it out of their hands, break it in half, and tell them to go fuck themselves. Also cost me, I think, $100 to get the move? It was like 50 for the motion controller, like 40 for the navigational controllers, they call it. And like I bought a used camera for like $20. That's more than 100. Mm-hmm. That's what I bought. And then the sharpshooter was 40. I ran out of money. Returned it.
Got it some money good. Back.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, you guys might be wondering, where's our Pokemon review? Well, obviously, we need Triforce Mike for that, and it's going to be a heck of a review. I mean, you know who he is, you know what he does.
He's already logged, I think, at least 100 hours in the game, and he's only been playing it for like 3 days.
I mean, as soon
so
as
how
he...
that's possible
has the game been out
3 days.
Long enough for that?
Yeah, somehow.
Came out on Sunday, it's almost been a week, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. He doesn't sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was up. He's been up late. He's been doing his Pokemon thing. So, yeah. Yeah, it's going to happen.
So, have you guys heard of Henry Hatsworth?
No.
No, but that sounds like a very dignified gentleman's name.
Does he own a haberdashery?
Perhaps. That is one of my favorite DS games. I seem to talk about DS games a lot, don't I?
Wait, what's the DS game?
Henry Hatsworth is what it's called.
That's the actual name of the game. Henry Hatsworth.
Yeah, Henry Hatsworth.
Oh. I thought it was a person's name.
Yeah, I thought it was a...
No, it's the name of a game.
Is it related to Hattress?
No.
Okay.
Is that like a sequel to Tetris?
It is, actually. Cats? Done by the guy who created Tetris.
Oh, you're joking.
I'm not joking. It's in Triforce Mike's bedroom. I've never seen him play it. He bought it just for lols.
Wow. Anyway.
So, Henry Hatsworth, let's see, when did it come out? 2009? Whatever year it came out, it was one of my favorite games of the year. It was actually made by EA. It was made by their studio located here.
Hmm.
So it's a local game, actually. Well, the group that made it actually left EA. They got fed up over something and left.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. So they have their own studio now. It's called Dream Rift.
You know, and I think I've heard of Dream Rift. Oh, you have? I don't know what they make, but I've definitely heard of that.
Well, I might have mentioned the name before, actually.
Oh, that's probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have another game coming out. It looks a lot like Henry Hatsworth, actually. Not the gameplay, but just like the graphical style of it. It looks very much like it, and that's very good to me because I love Henry Hatsworth.
What's the name of this so-called
game? This one is called Monster Tale.
Now, is it about like a tale? Like
T-A-L-E.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Henry Hatsworth, I'll explain that first because they're sort of related the way they play. And Henry Hatsworth, it's a side-scrolling platformer. It's a DS game, so on the top screen is where all the platforming happens. And then on the bottom screen, it's actually a puzzle game.
What? At the same time?
You switch back and forth.
I can't do that.
It's not really fast. Okay. Like, if you just switch and
can I do it while I'm drunk?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of drunk you are,
can I do it while I'm driving? There's no law that says I cannot operate a DS while driving, is there?
I'd say that's negotiable based on the policeman who catches you doing it.
I know of people playing Phoenix Wright when they drive, but Henry Hatsworth, no, I wouldn't play that. You switch back and forth. The puzzle acts as a means to... You have like an energy bar that you can use for special attacks and things, so you use that to recharge that. So that's basically how it works. Like, you're just going along on the top, and then you switch to the bottom, and then you switch back. So I thought it was super fun. I love that game. So this one is kind of similar with switching between the top and bottom screens. In this one, it's platforming at the top again, but at the bottom, you have a little monster. He chills out down there, and he sort of, like, you collect items, and they end up down there, and he kind of, like, I guess he eats them, and he grows. And then on the top screen, your little character, it's a little girl, and she has her own attacks and things, but I guess if she gets overwhelmed, you can summon the monster from the bottom and he comes up and helps you.
I see.
And then you can have him until his health runs out and then he goes back to the bottom to recuperate.
So the game has a little girl who summons a monster from...
Mm-hmm.
Is it from hell?
No, I don't think so.
Is it a satanic game that'll make my children want to worship the devil?
Possibly.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes, it's Fred Savage in it.
I haven't asked about that. I don't know. Could be.
Have you not? You know? Have you ever seen that movie?
What, Little Monsters?
Yeah.
Nope. Never seen it.
Are you shitting me?
Yep.
They go under the portals. Nope. Under the bed.
Don't know it.
So
I mean,
that guy looks
I
like
know
Howie
what the,
Mandel.
I know what the cover of the VHS looks like.
It's got the main monster with the horns. Might be Howie Mandel. I mean, it sure as hell looks like.
Oh yeah, it does look like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now since he's bald and kind of bluish. Yeah. Okay, for all of you who have never seen this movie because you're like 15 and don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, see what Little Monsters, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
name,
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix Instant at the moment.
Been endorsing actually. So many things tonight.
Oh my god, well, because I'm just remembering shit. Go watch that movie. You're gonna shit bricks at how great it is. So
eat that pizza. Watch that porn. Yeah. Watch that movie. Yeah. Don't buy that gun.
Call a booty. little monsters. Gun thing. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the little girl with monsters.
Yes. So, yeah, she summons the monster, she's getting overwhelmed, he helps her fight and all that. I think he evolves throughout the game, so that I'm sure that his abilities change with those evolutions. So, that's basically how the game works from what I've seen. I mean, it's not out yet. It comes out on the 22nd. Very highly anticipating.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah, it is soon.
So, if any of you listeners haven't been to the Nerdy Show forums, it's still in beta, so that's why we don't have a link to it on the front page of the website. But all you gotta do is go to nerdyshow.com/forums. There's a lot of Minecrafting going on in there. We let our Minecrafters know about it first.
What's Minecraft?
Oh, shut up. You know good and goddamn well what
Minecraft
is. There's a lot of cool discussions that go on in there. And, I mean, these will all be hella severely outdated by the time you hear this. Because it's, you know, it's the internet. Everything happens so fast. But there's some cool things, some cool discussions worth mentioning. A listener named Lichlord has actually, he checked out my WarioWare DIY review from, like, last year, where I made a bunch of really vulgar things in WarioWare, and then ended up finally producing a game in the game after a long time. You throw Mr. Saturns at Reggie Fils and me. He made a bunch of games inspired by the most boring part of Red Dead Redemption. He made a bunch of Red Dead Redemption-themed cattle rustling games.
Oh, I love cattle rustling. How can you say that's boring?
Well, that's maybe me speaking for him. But
so, wait, he made these on Minecraft or just in general?
No, he made them on WarioWare DIY. Oh,
okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's a, he posted a YouTube video to that shows off all of his cattle rustling games. There's some heated discussion about Skyrim, including some hate. There's some hate on there.
You hate Skyrim. There's no way it's worse than the last one they made. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love Oblivion, but it was way too boring for me, and I hated the battle system.
Shut up. Shut your face.
I know, and all the caves looked the same, and so did all the side quests, but I'm not getting into that.
Shut your
except
face.
Except that the most fun thing to do was make a character and immediately search out a vampire, get bitten, and be a vampire for the whole game. That was the only fun thing I liked to do. Anyway.
And there's also a thread dedicated to drawing a video game character in paint. Simple, but hey, you can't go wrong with that.
You could go very wrong with that. You've seen Rule 34.
You could. I mean, you could go wrong with that, but maybe that wrong is so right. You know, who am I to say? And also, you know, Pokemon friend codes. Or
PFCs, as we call them.
Yeah, or whatever they're called, whatever their official designation is. You want to...
It's PFC.
It is?
PFC Chang.
PFC Chang. You want to swap Pokemon with cool Nerdy Show listeners? Just go to the forums.
Dig it. We should have a section where swap Pokemon with Mike, Triforce Mike. I'm going to totally do that. Give out his friend code. We won't even tell him. So people will be like, hey, Triforce Mike, can I have this and this? And he'll be like, who the fuck? How did you get this? Why do I have a message on my DS? It'd be great. We should totally do that and not tell him. And hopefully he won't listen to this and he won't even know it's happening. We could totally do this as a segment and not know that this is happening.
Triforce Mike, you've been punked.
Just so you know, he's got a few shiny Pokemon already by luck because he's a dick.
Wait, he has more than one?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, he has... Last time I heard he has one, he's always caught like three in every game without even trying. So if you want that shiny, you better give him something good that he needs. So, yeah. Something from Pokemon White that he can't get because he doesn't have Pokemon White. Bitch don't got white. Only got black. Nah, that's bad. I'm just saying. I'm not racist. Keep going.
So let's conclude this Nerdy Show game-isode. Thanks for joining us, guys. As always, let me remind you that Nerdy Show, it runs off of your love and does take donations for us to survive.
And human blood.
And human blood. You can donate human blood. How can they donate human blood?
They can leave a name and address on the forums. They can make it private or whatever so we can
and
only
we'll
see
take
it.
Care of the rest.
Yeah, we will send you a package with some dry ice. Just donate your blood. I don't care whose it is. Just send us your blood.
Yeah, we have blood quotas to fill.
So many.
Human blood, though. Please, please. No rats.
Got enough rats.
We're running a clean operation here. We don't want our blood stepped on.
Nope.
Anyway, also there's t-shirts, obviously, and as you may not have seen yet, but hopefully you have, D&D t-shirts. Amazing.
Amazing. Oh
D&D t-shirts.
I saw one. First I was like, I don't give a shit about a t-shirt. Cap showed me this t-shirt, and I was like, I need to have 5 of them. Now... I said at least 5, because if you don't buy at least 5, you're just a poser. So you need to buy at least 5 shirts to be cool. I mean, that's what I did, so, yeah.
Yeah, fill at least, you know, 75% of your wardrobe with these shirts. Buy as many as you want. Don't listen to Brandon. He's just trying to pressure you. But they're only $10, so that's
pretty
sweet.
Yeah, as many as you want, being, you know, the least amount should be 5. But you can always buy more than 5. Just don't buy less than 5.
And don't forget, guys, if you got any discussions you want to hear from us or anything that you're curious about, just send us a letter.
Curious.
Videogames@nerdyshow.com. Post on the forums. What was that about? By curiosity?
I forgot already.
You forgot?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You'll find out later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ominous. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, guys. What we got playing us out is
an incredible track from the latest Non-Commissioned Officers album. As you may have heard in the last Nerdy Show, I played a single they put out called Evolve, and then I found out that they were dropping a brand new album. It's called Money Looking for Thieves. I have an album review up for it on Consequence of Sound. I'll link to it on the Nerdy Show site. The album is totally awesome. I highly recommend it. Not nerd music per se. When I first started talking about them on Nerdy Show, it was because they scored and produced a zombie film called Make Out with Violence, which is really, really cool. And I'm playing them because I've talked about them so much, and their music is freaking amazing. But I guess if I want to tie it into video games are expensive, and this song is called Rich Stuff. That's 1 hundo a day, 5 hundo a week. That's rich.
I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jonna.
See ya.
Peace.
Phew. Up and down.
for so long, chasing rhythms born by an apocalypse song. Nutella, tell her I miss you and I want you along, like a river forever longing for the sea. Sad old tune, you hear it once, you want it every time. Oh, ooh, yeah. Oh, ooh, yeah. The foam, the steam, the coral beaches crystallizing. Drink you dry. What makes you think I wanna taste that wine? No, I don't want your rich stuff. I don't want your memories. I just want your sweet love. I want you to come back to me, 'cause I feel like I can't stop, and I feel like I just can't.
Bartholomew Elfgar Gleeman. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. Listeners like you, especially you, man. And if you enjoyed what you've heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, pick up some Nerdy Show merch at the Nerdy Store, or donate directly for secret Nerdy Show goodies. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. For the latest news and updates, follow us on Twitter at Nerdy Show, or friend us on Facebook. And get social with other Nerdy Show listeners at nerdyshow.com/forums. Yes. Contact us questions or comments at info@nerdyshow.com.
All right, Jonah.
I sound like a little bitch.
I'm ready for you.
I'm currently enjoying this scrumptious piece of pizza as I speak into the mic with my mouth full.